few months, we have moved in our study from a character study of Peter to the teachings of Peter. Matter of fact, as we talk about Peter, guys, just a reminder, Scott's taken 2 weeks to teach us on the character of Peter. And if you're not part of our study, guys, you're welcome to come and sit on as we study Peter for the next 2 weeks, and then we swap off to another person. So if you haven't signed up but you'd like to check it out, we're starting Peter this week. You can do that. Also, ladies, for you ladies that are still upset with Kristen, you need to get over it because she's your teacher today, all right? She is teaching the ladies. It's Sarah, right? Sarah, the life of Sarah. So ladies, if you're not part of the study, I'd encourage you to stay as well. And ladies, there are a number of books down front here that you ordered but you haven't picked up yet. Pick those up today. And if you're going to pay with a check, pay, make it out to CBCC and either give it to Kristen or give it to me today. But anyway, we've been looking at Peter and the transformation from being a knucklehead to telling us how to live for God. Because a study started by looking at a man that had a number of personal issues. Peter would often speak before he thought. Remember that time when Peter told Jesus that, "Here I am, God." Well, where was I? Yeah. Remember that time when Peter said to Jesus, "You will not go to the cross on my watch." And what was Jesus' response? He said this. Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Matthew 16, verse 23. Peter was also impulsive at times. Remember the time Peter jumped out of the boat to go to be with Jesus? And then when he realized what he had done, as he's sinking, he yells, "Help me, Lord, save me," in Matthew 14, verse 30. How many of you have ever had those kind of prayers? You need to confess that lie to God. We all have, right? "Oh, God, help me. Get me out of this thing, God. God, I promise. I promise if you get me out of it this time, I'll never do it again." Yeah, I think probably all of us, if we were to be honest this morning, had those kind of prayers. "Lord, save me," Peter says in Matthew 14, verse 30. And then, of course, there's that time when Peter was ashamed to be associated with Jesus. He not only denied Jesus once, not twice, but three times. Then he, Peter, began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man," in Matthew 26 and verse 74. In other words, Peter didn't always make good choices. He didn't always say the most appropriate things. And he bailed on Jesus when Jesus needed him most. You know, in many ways, Peter was much like you and me, in that we all have personal issues. Yet Peter was changed. Peter went from the man with numerous character flaws to the man that is now encouraging us to move from our own flaws and live a holy life. If you haven't turned to 1 Peter yet, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We looked at four verses last time we were together, but I don't want to just skim it. I want to go over it because what Peter's telling us today will change our lives. That's why I'm not surprised that so many people aren't here today. Because even we are in spiritual warfare. And if Satan can keep us from listening to the word of God, he's happy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Now, let me just say this as well. If you haven't put out paper and pencil yet, I'd encourage you to do that. Because you don't want to miss the very things God wants to say to your heart today. And you know, our tendency many times is to leave the building, and within hours, if not minutes, we've forgotten everything that God has said. Say nothing about Wednesday and Thursday and Friday when we should be reminding ourselves of the things that Jesus said. So whatever it is God says to you today, get ready to write it down and burn it into your heart. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to verse 16. Now, this is my Bible. Don't anybody feel like you have to buy me a Bible, all right? I have multiple Bibles, but this is the Bible I've used for a long time. As you can tell, it's kind of wearing out. But what's inside is still the same. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Therefore, prepare your hearts, your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance." He says, don't be like you were before you were saved, before you knew better. Verse 15, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." The title of our message this morning is this: be holy, period. Be holy, period. So three questions as we begin to study this morning. Question number one is this: why do we need to be holy? Because Jesus is holy. You know what? That is the only reason. Matter of fact, God says, be holy. Why? Because I am holy. Question number two: how much of my life needs to be holy? 100%? That's what Peter says too. He says, so be holy, how? In all you do. And then the third question is this: why do we see so many unholy lives within the church? Why do we need to be holy? Because God is holy. What part of my life is supposed to be holy? Every part of my life. Then why do we see so many unholy lives within the church? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. How do you and I become like Peter? How do we move from living that inconsistent and ungodly life to living a life like God requires? Well, ultimately, it comes down to our choices. It comes down to our choices. Dr. Joel Stoll, the former president of Moody Bible Institute, said this. He said, "We are what we are, not because of the dreams we have, but because of the choices we make." We are what we are, not because of the dreams or the aspirations that we may have, but because of the choices we make. So what choices do I need to make if I want to live a holy life? Well, as a Christian, first of all, we need to realize that we have a higher standard. Number one, we have a higher standard. We need to stop comparing our lives to our society, or stop comparing our lives to other Christians, and start comparing our lives to God. I got to tell you, as a pastor, this is one of my pet peeves. I don't have a lot of pet peeves, but this is one of them. When it comes to living for God, it just irks me when I hear people say, "Well, that's good enough. That's good enough." Can I remind you this morning, whether it's cleaning the church, whether it's downstairs setting up for KFC or for a luncheon, whether it's putting money in the offering, whether it's teaching a Bible study, whether it's working on the parsonage or whatever it is, it is not your, if it's not your best, it is not good enough for God. And it shouldn't be good enough for us. Good enough is not the higher standard that God is calling us to. My son Jeremy's wife, Candace, and we love Candace. She's just what Jeremy needs, and Jeremy is just what she needs. But she says, she tells Judy this often. She says, Judy, well, Mom, when I talk to Jeremy, it is just like talking to his father. Now, whether that's a compliment or not, I'm not always sure, all right? But if you are a Christian, there ought to be a family resemblance. As God's children, you and I need to be reflecting our spiritual father's character to the world. People in your life and mine should never be surprised when they find out that we're Christians. Instead, when they find out that we're Christians, their response should be something like this. Oh, well, now that explains everything. Not necessarily always a compliment, but that should ring with them why your life is the way that it is. Can I ask you this question this morning? Well, thanks for the permission, because I was going to ask it anyway. When is the last time someone said to you that your character was just like God's? When is the last time that your spouse or your children said to you that when they speak with you or talk to you, it's just like hearing from God? When is the last time you said these words that Paul wrote many years ago when he said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ"? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. When's the last time you told somebody to do that? When's the last time you told your kids to do that, or your spouse to do that, or your pastor to do that, or the people in your life? This will only happen as you and I choose to live God's higher standard. To be holy because I am holy. We need to realize we have a higher standard. Secondly, we need to realize that we have a greater name. We have a greater name. My sister Michelle just posted this picture on Facebook of my dad, his siblings, and his mother and father, or my grandparents. I have to say, I am very proud of my heritage. My grandfather started a small business with nothing. My dad took that business to a place where it was doing over $1 million a year in business. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot of money today, but I tell you, back in the 70s, that was a lot of money. And the spiritual impact, more importantly, the spiritual impact that my dad had on me and my family continues today with my grandchildren, even though he passed away 20 years ago. So I'm proud to be a Gower. But there is even a greater name that I bear. As a Christian, I bear the name of my Heavenly Father. The word Christian, I would have to say that there are few words in the English language today that carry as much baggage in our society than the word Christian. Yet, what's interesting is that Jesus never actually gave a name to his followers. The early church never called themselves Christians. In the Bible, the name that is most often used was saints. The early church was first called Christians in Antioch. It wasn't a name Jesus' disciples gave themselves. It was a name that the society, the people in Antioch, gave them. And it wasn't meant to be complimentary. The term Christian, or little Christ, is what it meant, came from the world's realization that something new and unheard of was happening within these people, these little Christ, these people that were following Christ. It wasn't a name that was given flippantly. It was more like a dismissive wave, like, oh, they're only Christians, or they're only that group that follow after Christ. They only do those things that Christ did. Now, technically, the IAN on the end of the word Christian means belonging to the party of. Belonging to the party of. So Christian meant those of Jesus' party. So when you were called a Christian during the early church, not only was it not a compliment, it could even cost you your life. So to live a life of a Christian means to follow Christ, to live a holy life, which means that we are bringing glory to God, our Heavenly Father, by the things that we say and the things that we do. It means living so that those who do not know Christ know Him because they know us. That's what it means to be a Christian. Those who do not know Christ now know Him because they know us. Being holy means living so that others will say, man, his God is awesome. Do you know what his God has done in his life or in his family? Or do you know how his God met the needs of their church when they hired that extra guy, that extra pastor? And from God's perspective, when we live a holy life, it's like God's up there and he says, hey, that's my boy, Brian. Or that's my girl, Judy. It brings glory to those down here, but it also brings joy to our Heavenly Father. It is said that in the day of Alexander the Great, a soldier was charged and tried for desertion in battle. The emperor heard about it and called the younger soldier in. He heard the charge, and then he asked the young man his name. The reply came back, Alexander, sir. With that, the emperor looked sternly in the eye and said, soldier, change your behavior or change your name. You and I, as Christians, bear the name of God everywhere we go. So that ought to make a difference in the way we live. I think it was Tony Evans that said this, don't amen on Sunday what you refuse to live on Monday. We need to realize we have a higher standard. We need to realize that we have a greater name. And then lastly, number three, we need to realize we have an irrevocable calling. We have an irrevocable calling. What is that calling? Holy in all you do. Peter says in verse 15. Philip says in his commentary, this irrevocable calling needs to affect every department of your life. See, holiness doesn't just affect your church life. Holiness begins with the trivial details of your life. Most of life is made up of small things. So if holiness does not show itself in the mundane areas of my life, then where will it be seen? Paul says this about the mundane. He says, so whether you eat or drink, what gets more mundane than that? We do it all the time. Most of the time we do it without even thinking. But he says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. If you and I are living a holy life in the trivial or mundane area of our lives, then we won't have to think about how we should act when the trials and difficulties of life come. Because holiness is not something I do. It's something I have become. Holiness is not something I do. It's something I have become. Holiness is not a set of rules and regulations. Holiness is about God. And God said, be holy because I am holy. I should be holy in the mundane things of life. I should be holy when I wake up, when I'm in the shower, around the breakfast table. I should be holy when I pick my radio station on my way to work, or when I interact at school, or in the office, or in the factory, or out in the field, at lunchtime, during my break. I should be holy on the way home. I should be holy when that guy, person, cuts me off in traffic. When I stop at the store, when I enter my home. I should be holy when I speak to my spouse, when around the supper table, watching TV or reading my email. I should be holy while surfing the internet, on the telephone, while I go to sleep. I should be holy when I wake up and then I need to start all over again. I should be holy in every detail, every place, every relationship, every word, every thought, every deed, in my private moments, with my friends, with my enemies, when I'm happy, when I'm sad, in the good times, in the difficult times, in my doubts, when I succeed, and when I fail. I should be holy, period. Being holy is the very purpose we were created for. For the Christian, without God as the center of my life, I lose meaning. I lose purpose. And there's no reason for me to even be here. Now, what did Joel Stoll say? He said, we are what we are, not because of the dreams we have, because of the choices we make. Please understand that this message this morning is not for the person sitting beside you. Please understand that this message today is not for your spouse that may be at home. The message this morning is for you. This message calls for a self-examination of your heart and life when it comes to being holy as God is holy. This pastor and you have a long ways to go. And the sooner you and I admit that, the sooner you and I will get there. Now, I'm not a mind reader, but I'm guessing that some of you at this point are thinking, I give up. I can't do that. Be holy in everything? That is just way too much to expect from me. It's too much to ask. And you know what? If it was left up to us, you would be exactly correct. Yet the only thing that God leaves up to us is that we choose if we want to live a holy life. Jesus, the Son of God, was born to bring God to us and us to God. And after his ministry was completed on earth, Jesus left so that the Spirit of God could come to indwell the children of God. And because the Spirit of God lives in us, we can choose not to sin. We can choose to live a holy life. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. See, the secret to living a holy life is less of me and more of God. If you want to be like God, it can happen. But in order for it to happen, you must choose to give up and let God. Ask God to take over your life. Ask the Spirit of God to control every aspect of your life. And for some of you, maybe you need to change up your prayer life. Maybe instead of trying to change God's mind with your prayers, maybe it's time you ask God to change you. Now, there's no magic to my prayer list. But let me just share with you how I start my daily list. I have things I pray for every day. Then I have things I pray for once a week on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So this is I have a lot of things I pray for. But I want to just share with you what I pray for me. Or as I begin my daily list. I ask God to, first thing I do is I ask God to help me love him more than anything else. And then I ask him to help me love Judah more than anything else but him. Then I ask God to help me walk with him. And by that, when I say walk with him, to help me deny myself. To help me that day to talk like him. To think like him. To reflect him in everything that I do. Then I ask God for wisdom. So that the things that I say, the messages that I give, the blogs that I write, people are not hearing me, but they're actually hearing God speak through me. Then I ask God to help me to have a vibrant prayer life. A vibrant prayer life in that I want a two-way conversation throughout the day. Yeah, I want to spend time talking to God. But I also want to hear God speaking to me. Now, you might find this next request odd for a pastor. But I ask God to give me a desire to study his word. And then to apply that word to my life. I then ask God for a bonus for the lost. Then I ask him that I might not lose the joy of my salvation. And then I ask God to do anything, and I mean anything, that he deems necessary to get my family to walk with him. To get my family to finish well. Now, your prayer list may look different than mine because your weaknesses are probably different than mine. But if we're not praying and asking God to help us live a holy life, if we're not giving the Holy Spirit opportunity to change our lives, it will never happen. That's why Peter said, therefore, prepare your minds for action. You have to be proactive. He says, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Your life should not be like it was when you were unsaved. That's what he's saying. Your life needs to be different. And then Peter tells us, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 16. Please understand this morning, to live a holy life, you cannot do it alone. We need God every day, every hour, every minute, every second, every moment, we need him. We're going to sing a song. We're going to close in a song. And we're going to close with it as a prayer. I want you to sing it. You can sing it to yourself, or if you're going to sing it out loud, just keep it to yourself, all right? Because I want this to, we want to close with this prayer this morning. And I'd encourage you, if God has spoken to you this morning, as we sing this prayer to God, if God has spoken to you, and God says that you need to recommit your life to him, or God said that you need to make changes, you need to get more serious about becoming, living a holy life, or maybe he's talked to you about some other area of your life, but if God has spoken to you this morning, I would encourage you to come down front so that not only can I pray for you, but so that your family could pray for you and encourage you to become a holy person, period. So please stand with me as we sing this morning, I Need Thee.